3, 2. David D hanging out with you. We're back here, New Orleans. We've been hanging out with Mama D this afternoon. We're now back at her crib. And, you know, coming from the second line.
We're just returning from the second line, and now we're sitting on the porch. And if you're old and from New Orleans, we call it the gallery.
I hear that. You know,
dope popping, showing Dave and his guests what we do in New Orleans. Handshake, that's how we do it, boo, you know.
You know, let me ask you something. You know, I want to kind of give people that are listening, we're all over the country right now, an idea as to what you were describing as we were just talking, the facade that has been created about the rescues and the recoveries here in New Orleans. The first thing that we were talking about earlier was clarifying who actually was doing the rescues. And you described, as many people we've spoken to, that it was the quote-unquote thugs, you know, young brothers. Well, no, I know. I'm not calling you. But this is how we've been described.
Perceived, yeah.
This is That's how we've been described.
It's been put out there. But you saw them the children out there today? I call them children because I'm 62. Anybody under 50, I do that. You saw how peaceful they were today? Did you see any violence? Did you see any weapons? Did you see anybody doing anything vulgar? Did you see anybody taking their clothes off? I can see. You didn't see any of that.
Right. But one of the things that's interesting about New Orleans is that this is the highest incarceration rate in the world. And on the surface, you know, you would hear people say there's a lot of crime. But when you look beneath it, and maybe you can explain it, they say it's a lot of little petty stuff, misdemeanor, like you threw a gum wrapper on the floor, then you're going to jail. And I think I was talking with Cess45, the rapper here. He said that as a young black man growing up here, they said you run into about 80 to 85% of the people will have had handcuffs put on them because the business of New Orleans is incarceration. Can you speak on that from your experience?
I'll be more specific. The business has been incarcerating our children. But that's not unique to New Orleans, boo. I told you earlier, check the stock market. Corrections of America, whatever it is, go look. It's at the top. It's busting out the seams. And who's in the prisons? You know, black folk tell me sometimes, you're too hyper, you need to calm down. I say, where do you live? Don't you see America has locked up our future? I can go to Arizona and California, certain areas, and buy marijuana, and it's legal, and smoke it, or drink it, or however people want to do it. I can go to other places where it's a misdemeanor. In New Orleans, you got marijuana 3 times, you go to prison for life. L-I-F-E. Yeah, it's called L-W-B. Living while black. Driving while black. Yeah, living while black. It's dangerous.
One of the things we've been hearing is that a lot of the people that did these rescues, the original first responder, brothers from the hood, are now looking at lengthy prison sentences because while white people were finding food, and I put quotations around the word finding, we were accused of looting. So when we were, you know, getting food supplies for elderly people.
Let me tell you something, baby. We liberated what we needed to liberate. We took the school, Walgreens, and Save-A-Lot. And the brother was here from BET. And I asked him, would he go around to Walgreens with us? And as we came up with stuff, I said, Mr. Walgreens, don't go mess with my children. My name Diane. I live around the corner. I gave my address and my phone number. I said, come get me. We getting your stuff to help our people. Diapers, anything we needed. Anything that was needed, brother. The gas didn't go off initially. So this was a cookhouse. Another sister named Indaya and another brother we called Ricky. We had 3 different cooking places. Ricky was professional, so he cooked for the elderly. So he had taken the special need diets. I was cooking. Indaya. Oh, I guess we'd been in the school 3 days, and here come everything they call itself Po-Po. You know? And pull guns on us, put it to our...
Po-Po, for people who don't know, police.
Yeah. Well, we got the PPs and the Po-Po, the poverty pimps and the police. The two together has been terror on us, absolutely terror. You know, looked like, I don't know if they'd call the city or what, but when I went to testify before the Congress, once the one who was terminated about a month ago here stopped in front of my door and called me all kind of bees and said, go up there and say something stupid. I said, I look that much like your mama, because he was calling me explicits, you know. I wanted to let him know the only person I know he could talk to like it was more. And then he was talking about, oh, you want to go to jail? I said, do you realize you're in that car by yourself and there's at least 100? It was about 100 people around here that day. See, the mentally ill came. The children, they were letting the children out of jail. Red Cross was saying they didn't have no ID. So therefore, they couldn't prove they were. So why would you be in Orleans Parish Jail if you're from somewhere else? And even if you were, you had to get out of here. You know what I'm saying? It was a facade they created. You know, we were doing things like, I guess I'm going to get in trouble. One lady's mom was dying somewhere else. You know, she couldn't get the little $300 Red Cross. I went there and signed my name and handed the lady the money because they wouldn't do it. We were almost having to stand at the jail door when they released those children because they were killing them. I'm going to tell you straight up what it was. They were killing them. We got 5 police on trial now.
Killing them, like, literally, like, assassinating.
Like you at on a hunt, you know? And it was... The first district is the one I live in, First District Police Station. Now, we dying is horrific. The first district, some, not all, because we have some beautiful babies over there, though. Some police shaved their heads, like skinheads, and got this huge top. Where did you get time to go get a top made? Said, Fort Apache. Well, I'm 62. I thought they was playing the dozens with the Indians. That mean making fun of the Native American. To turn out there's some movie about Fort Apache talking about the Bronx or somewhere where they went in and killed children. Why are you thinking about stuff like that? Killing gangs, cleaning up this, I'm cleaning up the hoods. You know, most of our children have the reputation of being thugs, and that was brought to us. One young man I know left the force. He said, Mama, they was trying to tell us to make names and call them gangs. We have 5, 6, 7 children in one house. When they come out, they're not a gang. They're still sisters and brothers. You know what I'm saying? They may all maybe be walking the hood. It took me literally almost having a tantrum with the police. On in my neighborhood, it was Thursday. We call it jump out day. The police had one in the back, 2 usually rednecks in the front, 1 of us who can run fast, maybe, in the back. One day when I first returned home, I'd been out doing an assignment for a few years. But I returned, I'm thinking they don't know the back door open, you know. I'm being a good citizen. Officer, officer, your door is open. And then here comes the dude's head pop up. I said, well, how is this? They tell him there's one coming, and he jumps out and grabs out you. Don't know what they've done, if they've done. I had a child here who was a junior at Xavier. He said, Mom, I done had enough.
This is how they do this? Yeah. They call it jump out day.
Yeah. In my neighborhood, it was Thursdays. I'd have to start early. Y'all know the day Thursday, huh? You know what I'm saying, baby?
And this is because, if I'm correct, they get a quota? They have a quota here or something like that?
This is because the Klan and everybody else who want to be a police. You know, it's just a sad situation all the way around. I didn't see it by the time I got there, and they told me, they said, somebody hollered in the crowd, said, go get Mama D. So they heard him. They made a grown man, about a 40-year-old brother, get on the hood of the hot car, pull his pants down, and one of them freaks went up his butt talking about he's looking for dope. I said, well, he going to really make the world high, huh? Would. And there was nothing in this man's rectum.
Did this in front of everybody?
In front of everybody. But by the time they came and got me, they had left. You know what I'm saying? Then there was another incident. I went to the office, the station, to find out from the supervisor. I said, look, this white guy sitting in his car downstairs. I want to know his name. He's doing some terrible things. This man stood there very just earnest and looked in my face and gave me a name. I don't know the difference. And it turned out to be a brother who was not the perpetrator. He gave me a name that I had just, if I had just gone somewhere and reported him and not checked to see if it was correct, I would have gotten a brother in trouble because his supervisor had given me the wrong name. Yeah, we got sick people. New Orleans is the Big Easy means that we're easy to get along with more than it means it's easy to live here financially. The only reason why it's easier financially because this was Red Bean House. You know, everybody, including the mailman, know he's gonna get him a plate of red beans when my aunt on a half day because that's how we operate here. We don't let you be hungry. We don't let you be outside. You know, we're good hearted people. And to see, you know, right after Katrina, this group of white ladies. Now, if anybody saw me testify, when that man started talking crazy to me, I said, Mr. Come See. Maybe they don't understand. Maybe they thought I was speaking French. I said, Come See. I'm 60 years old. I mean, who are you that I need to lie to you? Was what I meant. One of the congressmen was kind enough that when they got here, he asked me to come down. Well, he sent somebody to come get me to the hotel. He said, I think I owe you an apology. I said, just help my people. I don't need to apologize. I got broad shoulders. Help my people get from under this. This is not, and I'd like to meet Bush. Because I'd like to tell President Bush, we got our own brand of crooks before we can get to him. Our governor asked for power over the state of Louisiana and the Louisiana National Guard. Most folks don't understand that. That's why when Joan Roberts came here, I told him, I said, well, I know the law.
Who's Joan Roberts?
He's one of them, MS, NBC, something, baby.
Oh, you're talking about a reporter. Oh.
Yeah. You know, they were all coming. We were still in the water. They were every nationality, every continent that have human life on it rode up to this dope before anybody boo. Israel came all and stayed with us.
You're talking about before any government official came here, all the reporters and everybody had come here. You know, let me. We've been talking with Mama D, first responder here, heroine to the people of New Orleans. If you don't know, longtime activist, et cetera, et cetera. Let me ask you this. I talked to Mayor Ray Nagin a few days ago, and I was asking him about his relationship with people like yourselves who are sitting here doing this hard work and how he, first of all, engages you guys and whether or not he even has plans to include you in the type of recovery efforts that they're getting money for or they're supposed to be doing. And, you know, he said, well, you know, he has great plans for everybody, but I haven't seen that manifest itself.
A professor from the University of Ohio was here, and he was talking about Nagin, and Nagin should have this and this. I said, well, just like I told the Congress, our poor baby don't know he don't know. He's finding out now that he don't know. Watch Mardi Gras. If you want to know who run New Orleans, there's two kings on Mardi Gras Day, Comus and Rex. If you want to know who run, Blackwater was on the street. Nagin didn't do that. You know, I mean, we got to get real.
The Blackwater mercenaries.
Yeah. The people uptown, who is Mr. Rex and Mr. Comus, did that. You know, we're not understanding the big picture because we're not training our young people to come sit with us and be patient and learn. With, you know, old people, you tell us, sit your butt down. And you did that. And you gained the wisdom and the knowledge. You know, and then they got this little crew that I call, excuse my French, house niggas, who come to tell you that you don't have to do it that way. The other night we were discussing going to do some direct action in Jenna for those six little boys up there. And first of all, because of my reputation, they warned me. There's a white lady on the phone. I said, she need to meet my dad. He blind and blue-eyed. You know what I'm saying? So where we going with this? So I said, well, who's prepared to go to jail? We don't want nobody to come up there acting stupid. I said, have you read the letter from the Birmingham jail, miss? That was a real jail they put Dr. King's little black butt in. Do you realize, was he acting stupid? Was he really being, you know, everybody wants you to dream in Washington, and that was a march put on by labor. I asked Sweeney and them up there in Washington, why y'all don't take credit for the march on Washington?
Sweeney, of course, the head of the ACLU. ACLU.
Yeah. Well, my issue, baby, is like, is it because Mr. Randolph was a black man and it's the most successful march that ever happened in America that we keep people focusing on a guest speaker? King and I ain't taking nothing from him, but he ain't no more man to me than Mr. Randolph because he sent Bear Rustin to New Orleans. And Mr. Rustin, I tell him all over the world, go get your best now if you're going to organize because I was trained by the best. It ain't about no PhD, no Phi Beta this and none of the rest of it, brother. It was about Mr. Bear Rustin taught us, and we were trained to pay attention and learn. And I find it really strange that we always talk about King's March on Washington. See, that's when it started individualizing us. You didn't know our names back in the day because it wasn't a I am. It was a we are going to do mentality, you know. And now the young people come down and sit and talk to us about, we need to get businesses. We're going to teach people. We had businesses. They were stolen through racist laws and vicious and malicious, the same vicious, malicious people who came put a chain around our ancestors' neck and drug them over here. You know, when you see the difference in how things are handled. Vita used our money to go up there and turn tricks.
Who's Vita?
That's our congressman. We have a young brother who they know was going to be the next mayor. They say 5 years ago, he took $15,000 from another black man, you know, to eliminate us. And then they pay close attention because it's happening all over America. It's no longer the law. Our policy is. How your policy going to supersede a law? And this is what they're saying. Well, no, it's not the law, but it's our policy to do that. We need to pay attention. We're not hearing. We're not hearing the, you know, because they keep saying, well, y'all wanted integration. That's a dirty lie. We wanted equality. We didn't say we wanted to go to your school. We said we want to look as good as yours and has the same equipment and has the same things that yours had. We get the books when they expire when I'm a child. So you say I'm behind. No, then the book you gave me was expired when you gave it to me. You know, what they do is, New Orleans don't have no real distinct black-white. When they say, da-da-da-da-da, everybody get an umbrella and a handkerchief and jump up. White, black, purple, green, polka dot, paisley. You know, we all eat red beans. We all do have similar characteristics when it comes to the culture of New Orleans. And ours is embedded with anybody who come in. The African culture is here. They can't eliminate it. There's no way they're going to eliminate it. Simply because, you know, I find it strange. They say, the English is horrible. Every other ethnic group here have an accent. And the pronunciations are not total British English. But we get denounced. And I do it on purpose. I tell them I speak New Orleans. If you can't handle it, tough. You know, what foreign languages do you have in school? I say English. You know. Because my children, because I'm so active, I'm a human rights activist. You look through the prism and you see down in it that the word politics is controlling your human rights. So that makes it become the political end to it. We're not trying to do any of that. And then after the so-called phase of the movement, everybody wrote about it but us. You know, it's like with New Orleans. Everybody, you know, I say I'll be glad when they finish the movies and the DVDs and whatever else, the books. So maybe some of y'all can come to us and get the truth about what happened. But I'm disappointed in America, and I'm really truly disappointed in the bigger America and the foreign countries. They know they come here. They won't say we number one because it's a black city. But when I was somewhere in the International Tourist Commission or whatever they call themselves, said we were number two in the world, the most visited or wanted to be visited city in the world. They won't give it to us because we got black leadership now, you know. And then, you know what they're going to do. Now, this crud and filth has been here since they created the New Orleans. We've been in power, as they call it. We haven't been in power but for the last, say, 40 years, if that much. And now they're saying we deteriorated the city. And people know better. That's what's so confusing. When Dutch got in, everything changed. Porter Street, where you all were, that Carter, he's responsible for that. They don't give him credit. But we know that because we saw it happen. You know, that's one of the big things now that's happening now. One of my slogans for my campaign is 2 minutes ain't enough. You know, you got a button where you're going to let me say my name, and after I say hi, my name is, you say your time is up. We talking about our lives. You know,
talking about when you go to speak in City Hall, yeah.
End of the meetings, you know. And then what really hurts your feelings is they got these little folk who don't have a clue. You know, it's like when they were saying demanding that we leave. Oh, let me tell you this one. The boat came. I know what it is. The lunacy boat. Because I said I'm not going, and this man had put it on the news. So when it come to the little lady standing up and she's, I'm with the military. So the man with the brass, he said, can we come up? I said, can you follow the rules? You had to stop at the bottom in that middle landing because we were sitting in water. I said, you have to disrobe right here and sanitize. I said, when you get up here, we had a petition here where you had to take an alcohol bath and put our robe on to be here. And when you take our robe off your outside and you're gone, we couldn't take the chance of the germ and the disease. But you had to be here to understand what I'm saying. We had a chemical explosion. White folk and black folk living in Ninth Ward and St. Bernard Parish got the chemical explosion, Murphy oil spill, besides the fact that they bombed them levers, whatever was in the bombs. We kept walking around with that, you know, after gunfire and that smoke in the air. It was that kind of, it took me a minute to relate it to something. It was just like that, that we were in for the longest.
It's like a nasty taste in your mouth. Yeah. You know, I remember being in New York after 9/11, and you couldn't go anywhere, and you got a nasty taste in your mouth. Yeah. That, you know what I mean? You never forget this smell. Yeah. It's something like, you know, it smells like, I call it an explosion, but they call it something else.
Hey, that's what I'm trying to tell you, boo. And then, you know, for folk to say, well, you may have difficulties with your, with the election. You said they bombed the level. I said, God loves the truth. And that's my truth. You know, I'm going to go wherever I'm going to go with that. In New Orleans, if we below sea level, if a big truck hits a pothole, it shakes the street. You know, Katrina had went about her business. Katrina came through here like she was crying. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Just that, something you thought would be on the movies. That was my bed for the first 3 months. The chair you're looking at over there, because the house was like that. Under the dining room table on this side was a bed with a pillow, and on the other side was the bed, because we had to keep walking space. We had to keep a lady cleansed for a week that was on dialysis. And she said she felt better with what we did than what she did going to the dialysis people. We had people with her pacemakers. We didn't know if they could get wet. You know, we did our own thing. This other Brinkley, who did the Reagan thing, they've been on television here lately. He was at Tulane. He wrote a book. You know, people keep talking about that. We were there from the beginning. I tell folk, look in the index, because he did do that. He gave credit to the little people who was really on the ground making it happen in terms of saving lives. You know, why they want to acknowledge the Soul Patrol? Our chief of police.
That was the name of the group that you headed up?
Soul Patrol. I didn't head it up, but I was a part of it. You know how my house was the base? So you hear my name the most. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to blow up and get big and explode over no self-indulgence. It was not me. I was a part of it. I'm grateful to God that I had the base, because I'm upstairs where they could come. And it was amazing. The first morning after the water, because we'd have been out all night looking for people who might be stranded places. The two coaches came in their little, when they boat. We set a canoe on the side of my house. Theirs was a little bigger than mine. So they stopped right there because they was trying to go get this lady down the street. They said, Ma, we going to get Miss Lynn. Well, anyway, so while they were talking, Mitch's oar comes up. It's a shovel. And Tega's oar comes up. It's a broom. But we were doing what we had to do with what we had, is the point I'm trying to make. And then Earl and them came, and Jay, they don't tell you that a little brother saved the white priest down at Epiphany, and he still wear the cross that the priest put on him when he brought him out that church. You know what I'm saying? They don't tell you that they left the nuns, the only black order of nuns, to fend for themselves while they went and got the Asians out the east. You know, things that we know. You know, the first person that interviewed me, I told him, I said, you know, when you see our police cars are all over in your states, call 911, because they're stolen. The police just drove off. See, we had a residency law. You had to live in New Orleans to work for the city. The first thing they did when everybody was gone was change the law. But pre that, we knew that they were lying. Some of them saying they were staying here. And I don't blame them. If it's a storm, I'm going to go see about me. That's why we want them to live here. If you live next door to me, you can help me. But when you got to go to Slidell, Mississippi, and all these places, they were taking our cars, those people left. They don't tell you that almost half of our folks left. And when one of the reporters came here, our African communication is better than anything you can get, boo. They tell me, you internet? Do you do that? I said, I don't need to do none of that. We still using drums. By the time the reporter came here that morning, I said, mister, I won't be bothered. You know, I said, tell you what, you go uptown to Seal Cadillac place, C-E-W-E-L-L is the name of the place, Cadillac. They were up there stealing. The police had broken the Cadillac place. What do you need? Who you going to save in a Corvette? In water, huh? You know, these kind of. So when the Walmart thing came up, They got to me with that.
Hold on a second. Let me just kind of backtrack. We've been talking with Mama D, and you're putting a lot of things out there. And we're just kind of going over, you know, what happened here on the ground 2 years ago when the levees were blown up. One of the things, and I'm just recapping that you talked about, was the type of behavior of the police and officials. And if I'm correct, you know, first of all, they, you know, long before the officials came to your neighborhood, which was definitely, you know, decimated by the floodwaters, everybody else been here because y'all were doing for selves. Y'all had to take over a school, use that as a place of refuge. Y'all were taking care of the sick and elderly here. And the young brothers that we, you know, often are criticized were the ones that were doing a lot of with the salvation. This is long before many of the officials came here. Some of the stories that we're hearing is that you had guns pulled out on you, and you had this type of behavior from people that were supposed to be rescuing people in the neighborhood, and instead they were terrorizing. Can you kind of elaborate on that?
Well, about the third day, it became obvious. Now, you got to remember, we're confined at that point, unless you're going to wade in the water. The water was over my head. On the third day.
Now, just so we get an idea, the water was what, more than 10 feet high, 8 feet? Or
in my, right here. You know, it could be 10 feet here, and you go two blocks down. We're below sea level, baby. And it may be 6. You could go so far this way, and there was none. New Orleans is a swamp. It was landfilled. You hear us talk about the bayou? Most of New Orleans was little, like Vienna, little crevices, little bayous. You had to do water way back. They landfilled this. So, you know, when people start talking about why we didn't do certain things to the city, particularly the streets, it wasn't that they weren't done. It's that you're sitting on something that you know. And, you know, I find it strange. We use the same company that we've been using for years, years and years to do the streets. I mean, they got to be billionaires by now, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of dollars. And they never thought of going somewhere, going in a lab, finding something that would be more permanent, you know, because they could, nobody would say who's stealing. Give you an example. The only elected official that actually came here and sat with the people was the one that they just terminated because they say he took $15,000 5 years ago from a black man that's been indicted, and he was talking about his mama now to get less time in the penitentiary. You know, they did this as his young brother because they knew he was getting ready to become the next mayor. And you know, I tell us, everything that glitters is not gold. And when the European walks up and tell you something different from what I said, at least give me the benefit of checking it out before you assume that they're correct, you know? And that's part of what's been happening. But
we were talking about what these first responders did. I mean,
I'm trying. You know what? I'm old. It may take me to get there, but I don't do instant. And I tell people, I don't do anything. I'm trying to give you the background and let you know. We do have young people that we're extremely proud of. In any industry you go in, you're going to find some New Orleans, you know. Why? They don't realize that they're hurting who they want to come here because they're saying these evil and ugly things about us. It could be a shooting 50 million miles from a child's house about 30 years ago. They started something by taking children's pictures. I know because my son hit the door and slid in the door and said, "My, the police out there." They wanted his to make an index card on him. I have yet to have somebody explain that to me. Why are you making 3x5 index cards? I'm told that they kept them on file. So if something happened down the street, they'd look in the file. It's almost like that, brother, if it ain't real. But I go deal with the children. I showed you my picture in the anger light. That's a prison paper. I wear my life for shirt. Our children are some of the most obedient children in the world. You've sat here where you hear when the children pass on the bike and say, "Hey, Mama D, the rule is you can't go up and down the street and don't speak to the elders." They follow the rule. The police rule is put your hand on the hot hood, and then if you don't, you're resisting. You see, they don't see. Everybody's speculating what's happening, but nobody is... Nobody's coming to have the experience to sit with us. I told the U.S. attorney, and let me do this. I got something to show you. Because people don't understand what we're going through, and it's not a New Orleans problem, baby. This is what I have to do. I'm sitting here now broke and came by near an ice because I had to buy this for my 14-year-old the other day. Huh?
Wow.
Huh? Wow. You hear me now, baby? Right on this corner.
That's a heater there.
Yeah. Right on this corner, this pink stove. You know, black children ain't inventing something out their mind and being a genie and twiggling their nose and getting these guns. And somebody in the African-American communities and in the poor communities ought to speak up. I can call any one of my children and give them a quarter and send them down to that corner, and they're going to come back with a cigarette. Huh? You don't sell loose cigarettes in America. As long as they're big enough to get to the counter and put the quarter on, they can get the cigarette. All of a sudden, right after the Vietnam War, we were inundated with Asians and Arabs. And they say we the murder capital of the world, but every time, as a matter of fact, they help us to be eliminated in some of the neighborhood spaces, and they leasing and buying. Why would you want a business where they claiming people don't do nothing but kill each other and rob and steal? Why would you pick that spot to go to? Why every other, go down St. Bernard, where we just came from the second line, go down Broad. They at least 50, almost door-to-door. If it ain't the nail we call Ho House, it's the seafood dope house. All of them, boo. All of them. When the Army went in this one on this side here called Fisherman, we were wondering, because I was questioning. I said, I thought that was honest, brother. We know we just saw them to bring the shipping and the guns. They said they couldn't find them. After Katrina, one of my little monkey visitors went up in there, and there's a false ceiling. So if you go this way, you don't see it. And if you come from the top, you don't see it. You got to know it's a false ceiling, isn't it? All these devious things are happening to us, and we've been accused. How can black children, you know, and I was telling them, I told my children, I said, don't let them get you. Next time you sell a rock to an old brother, ask him when he was in the NOM. These people went and fought, so-called, for these people's freedom. Now they're sitting in our neighborhoods selling dope like it's water, and everybody claimed they can't see it. I told Jim Letton, the U.S. attorney, come sit on my porch, man. You know, I tell the chief of police and all the rest, come sit on my porch. You ain't got to go nowhere. You can sit on the stool we call dope pop.
So basically, in this neighborhood, you have triads that have showed up and immediately were able to open their stores right after Katrina. And, you know, right here on this corner, and continue to do business. And while they have a war against the young brothers and sisters here, apparently there's no war against these triads that have set up shop right here in New Orleans, and that's the hidden secret they're not talking about.
You know, and people first thing I want to do is say that you're player hating. It's my children dying. And I can't talk about it too much, brother. There's a cemetery called Providence around there, and when you go into it, you go over a little bridge, and it's a circle with Crips. I can name you two or three of my children and every one of them Crips out there. And if somebody thinks something's wrong with me about having emotional feelings about that and want that to be eliminated, then I'm gonna be in trouble for the rest of my life.
Crips, wow. Meaning graves.
Yes.
Yeah. People might think you're talking about the gang Crips. I wanted to clarify that, you know, because they don't use that word no more, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm 62, boo. You know, like I was telling them, it's just amazing that we actually see, there was a crime summit right after Katrina. First of all, they changed the laws knowing that people weren't here. They eliminated the residency law. When I went on, after my coach lost his son, he's the first black man you saw on television with locks, accused of looting. He was looking for his 15-year-old baby's body, man. They took him and chained him up to a fence. The police got mad because I went and got him. And they caught him coming from tarping some old white people's house, putting tarping meaning putting the plastic keep from raining in. Caught him, and he was with two young white guys, and they needed to see that. They actually stomped him, put their foot on his face, and he tolerated it and got up and went and saved some old people. That's what we have in New Orleans, resilience. And the white guys were saying, how you do that? Man, you know, they were amazed. We had St. Augustine Church getting ready to have a New Year's Eve service. I'm in the back. The little boy from Israel running. David says, Mama, police. Well, I knew to go run out there. When I go out there, and Dr. Kim Holder was here and some more people, and they were in the yard. They had them on the ground, on the cars, everywhere. Well, Annie Oakley was, I call her Annie Oakley. She said, oh, shit, excuse my French, but that's just what they said. Mama D here. It was like, wow. we got to stop this. You know what I'm saying? So there was another little Annie Oakley with us. She wants to be persistent. She said, we got to go. I said, you better tell her again. She's getting confused. You know, we're in a churchyard, you know, getting ready for a New Year's Eve thing. That's the facade that's been created. That's what they've been manifesting. I called this morning, the little new chief was on the radio this morning. I told him, the last couple of weeks I've seen a difference in my neighborhood. He has been making a difference in who he hiring, because the new faces to me, and they come in and say, good morning, ma'am. And I'm looking like, wow, okay, baby. You know, because well, usually when we see the Jump Out Boys or Jake got fired last month, and a few others, I know to get on guard. You know, because it'd be like sometime I have to go and say, damn, you're ready. Everybody radio broke or something? You just checked them a half an hour ago. And, you just checked it. This is the third time you checked. What you think? The name going to change? The ID going to change or something? Pure, raw, this pre-Katrina, boo. That's why I keep saying when I testify, Katrina didn't do this. The attitude that is projected about how we are treated has been here. But we just ignore it. We do what you saw today. We second line. We go get with each other. We nourish one another, you know?
You know, one of the things that was interesting, you was talking about the Red Cross, and we heard a lot of criticism about that. And you were saying that they were dropping buckets of candy to people.
See what they did? They were in the sky. You know, we didn't want the plane with the Red Cross thing on it. And we could tell a couple of planes were media. Right at Broad and St. Bernard, it was a lot of water. The brother floated around there until he was about to pop.
Dead body, you mean?
Yeah. They told us, you touch him, we kill your ass. They just talked to us like they'd be just bizarre. I didn't learn how to cuss the words I didn't know how to use. They gave them to me. They just, you stupid bitches, y'all don't know. Y'all jine and on and on. You ain't trying to hear that. We just, this brother floated so much, brother. That rope you see over there, that's the last of the rope. We had to tie the bodies up. And they literally told us, if they caught us touching them, they'd kill us for moving the body. We had to take the trees, the big limbs that fell, and barricade right there because we scared you wake up one morning and somebody floated right in front of the door because the debris there to catch on. The most horrific one for me was a little sister with her two babies tied to her. You know? They talk this caca and all these so-called 501c poverty pimps up in here talking about they was the first to get in, whatever. I can't imagine what kind of mentality for people who want to say that, who got their chest out beating on their chest with all they did for us. It didn't happen like that at all. And it's awful because if we had camcars, they were floating. We couldn't film the real people. The lies are so heinous. When our governor, and let me show you what they did us, brother. When you turned on the television, there was one channel if you was inside. We couldn't change and see what CBS, NBC was saying, all in people. We had one channel in here, okay? And all the stations was in that one space. On the third day, we was wondering what was up. Well, we said, a couple of days of high water. We look, right next door, they had big jumbo shrimp. You keep your freezer closed. We're used to hurricanes and water. You keep your freezer closed, we go freezer to freezer and cook. Because as long as you keep it closed, the food is preserved. We eat in high style. You know, we transfer. Mr. Brown, you got some water down there? You know, when the babies come in the boat, say, check Mr. Brown on the corner. Did y'all check on Miss Leona around the corner? These children were doing this all day for us, baby. You know, and for folk to come here, and that's another issue that I'm dealing with right now. We were so busy doing what we had to do to survive. Until I didn't realize that 206, that are two or three groups that are coming in and just co-op Mama D and the Soul Patrol, put us out there and said, if you want to make a contribution, send the checks too, and their names. They've gotten millions of dollars, and we didn't get a quarter. Go look at the Musicians Village, them old concentration camp-looking sites that Habitat for Humanity went around the world and said, help the musicians in New Orleans. And guess what? Most black musicians, number one, don't have the credit to get these $70,000 concentration camps financed. And then, like Smokey Johnson, you remember this song, old song, Dun, It Ain't My Fault, Dun, Dun. That brother got one leg. He's got to do 300 hours of volunteer work for Habitat for Humanity. He's on one leg diabetic. You've been frying with us every day in the heat here. And then he still got to come up with ability to finance a $70,000 shotgun that I can throw food from.
Shotgun,
yeah. We don't mind a shotgun, brother. We mind the concentration camp. It looks just like the trailer parks. Now, Habitat Humanities have hired more people. They got new this, they got new that. But then the black musicians, we had a silent second line last Sunday. They didn't touch a horn. And I'm talking about some of the greatest musicians. We went to the French Quarters with them because to let them know the black musicians are still down here starving to death. Everybody else, the Tipitinas, we don't know. I don't know how they got involved to be in charge of black folk. Hey, baby, how you doing?
You know, it's crazy, and I was talking to Cess 4-5 about this. New Orleans is known for its musicians all around the world, whether it's the jazz or even the hip-hop today. And I was pointing out to him, yeah, it might be nice if Master P or Juvenile or any of these people helped out and chipped in. Some did, some didn't. But the point that I was getting at with him was Clive Davis, Doug Morris, Sylvia Rome. We can go down the list. Lior Cohen, you know, Jimmy Iovine. We can put out all the names of these people that own these big labels that for years, David Geffen, who's backing Barack Obama, all these people that own all these record labels that have made millions and billions of dollars off of the music of these musicians, you didn't see them come together, do nothing big, come out here and say, you know, we made billions of dollars off the catalog, off these musicians. Let's revert the copyright back to them. Let's, you know what? Let me give you some free records to sell at least. No. You know, nothing didn't put, you know, during the Grammys, you didn't say, you know what? We're going to put a couple of billion dollars back into, you know, New Orleans just to make sure that what we've been able to make money off of can continue to be made money. So let's put some, you didn't see that. And, you know, I guess, you know, what kind of reminds me with the conversation is like keeping your eye on the bigger picture. And, you know, and to me, that's been a big, huge absence that, you know, people have not really brought to task. Like y'all made tons of money off this city, but I didn't see tons of money come back when it was in trouble.
You know, boo, somebody decided they were going to eliminate us from this community. And let me correct. I'm not correcting, but let me share this with you. P family here. He took care of everybody. He out the Calio.
Mr. Master P.
Yeah. Lil Wayne, see where that empty lot is right there? That's where Lil Wayne's in-laws live. They took care of the family. That's a ton of people here. You understand what I'm saying? They may have not said, I'm going to take this section of the city. They can't afford that. The people you talking about could afford. In the big picture.
If Lil Wayne is on, you know, Cash Money Records, which is signed to Universal, this is a $30 billion a year company. That's Doug Morris.
But why don't he take care of Lil Wayne then?
That's the question. That's the question. And, you know, and just to even give you some more insight, you know, Lil Wayne would be on the same label as David Banner, who was in Mississippi and who was crying tears because he was taking his own money and putting it towards the rebuilding of Mississippi. And I asked David Banner, I said, what are the people that own these labels doing for you? You know, they got Universal Records, which is Universal Pictures, which is Universal Theme Park, which is, you know, and then this the same Universal that is demanding that everybody pay extra money for playing their records, you know what I mean, on the internet. Same Universal that want to sue you if you download the music. Yet, you know, none of these people could find, I don't know how much they give, but I haven't seen. Well, obviously, we're sitting here talking to you, and you talked about these people living around your neighborhood, so they ain't come write a check for anybody down here, huh?
No. But you know, when I addressed the Congress, I said that if they would have just knocked on every door, and I'm talking about individually, and I'm talking about across the Gulf Coast, if they'd knocked on every door and said, you got five people in there, each one of y'all get a half a meal and need the check or the cash, they still would have had billions to steal. That's what greed do for you, brother. But you see, they don't want it convenient. When you're going this way, when you're leaving them, I'm show you this house. Old raggedy shotgun. Most of the people, they foreclosed on the black people houses. They're in the midst of that now. This white woman has come in and usurped one of the houses they foreclosed on. I love raggedy three-room shotgun. The child came here and told me, Mama, I'm looking for something in the hood. She said, I looked down the street. I think I'm going to get this one. I said, what is it? Four rooms that's about to fall down, and she wanted $800 a month for it. I'm sure the people weren't paying no more than $250 before pre-Katrina. And then she got angry with the girl because the girl wouldn't take it right away. You know, because she needs to pay. I mean, they're letting them have the houses for nothing when they could have said, if you were renting in that spot and come back, we'd do the same deal for you. It wasn't like that, baby. Rebuilding Together, which is a new name for Catholic Charities, came the other day to finish something on this house. And this little European with him, she just got this attitude. I said, don't put them two, excuse my French, I call them portalettes. I call them shit house. I said, don't put that right there, baby. My mother sits on the porch. I got two for you today. I said, I got you too, because you in my neighborhood. They brought a limousine with two photographers to do the photo op that set running all day in my neighborhood for 2 days. They brought a trailway bus that set running for 2 days. The girl down the street couldn't come out of the house because it kept it, the exhaust was going towards her door. Towards her door. And then they hired him a popo for me. They said it was good. On the news, they said because they're bad. You know what I'm saying? Because they want to come and do what they set out a gourmet meal that you get out of Emeralds. And said the volunteers, you know, the photo op. And we thought it very strange that they chose. So the reporter, he knew me, he said, hi. I said, did they tell you that we cleaned it, we gutted it, we bought the installation, we bought the sheetrock, we bought the bathtub, we bought the hot water heater in that house. I said, did they buy it? Did rebuilding you on to tell you that the hood did that? See, our motto is we in the hood and we do for the hood and by the hood. We don't call nobody to help. If you read David Douglas Brinkley, I don't know, I think it's Douglas Brinkley's book, The Great Deluge, he gives us a couple of pages of what was happening at Mama D's, you know? Because we didn't go looking for nobody. You know, he said we were self-sufficient. They don't want that known. Because they're out lying all over the world saying, we didn't spend this money on these niggas. Hey, I'm coming to this raw brother. Because we right at the edge right now. It's in our face. It's in our face. The sick, racist mentality. And our poor, so-called educated children who think that they've arrived somewhere. But I said, like I told the mayor of Memphis one time, Willie Harrington, because the brother was talking about what we won't do for ourselves. I said, brother, let me tell you something. When you go over in Germantown in that white hood and they say, run, nigga, you better pick them up and run here because they're talking about you too. They don't make the exception because you got on Botany 500s or what you call them, the stuff that men wear, the best quality clothes. I said, ain't going to make no difference. They're going to see your black bald head shining and want to know why you ain't in their hood.
You know, you talked about earlier, we've been talking with Mama D, if you're just tuning in. You were talking about earlier that, you know, here in New Orleans, you can't tell what anybody's background and what have you, and that a lot of the culture is shared. But if the culture is shared, then why do we have this overt racism when it comes down to something like this? Why are these lines being drawn? Why can somebody black be stomped on and be hunted down by the police and become victims of vigilantes and, you know, become the butt of anger from people who are supposed to rescue us?
You know, brother, this is going to sound strange and probably want to go get me some Prolixin. But first, I want to start with the diet. If you're not healthy and you're not feeding your mind and your body properly, you don't think properly. You know, I was in a supermarket recently and the girl did a backhand on her kid and I walked up to her and kind of said, what you doing, sister? Kind of squeezed her arm. I said, he's sitting there with a honey bun and some red dye and sugar in his hand that you bought for him. He going to go to the roof of this building because nothing in his hand is there. So, but I went in, you know what? She was a calm child. I spent 2 hours in the store with the sister. I went back through produce. I said, let me give you the Lazy Mama menu. It's healthy. Grapes, oranges, apples. I said, you wash these and sit them if you live in New Orleans. You sit them in the refrigerator. The child don't even need to ask you. They can walk in and get what they need. You know what I'm saying? The so-called fried rice. I tell the people when they do, I say, you eating dog on that corner. This place on this corner has had, at one walk, 52 health violations, and they're still open. How do people who we go fight for and do bring to our country and open our arms for can sit on our corners? And it ain't here. We first saw it while Latasha had to die. Is that what Pac say? All right, you know. I told Afina, I'm the president of the Senior Citizen Fan Club, because we knew what he's saying, because we know where he come from, and his background was reflecting us, what he was saying. You know, and that was one thing I appreciated about them. But they told us all, what Pac said was all right till y'all put the dope in the game. You know, we know what it is. We knew, and we were glad to hear some children responding, letting us know that they know. You know what I'm saying? There was a woman murdered uptown, an Asian woman. And they got surveillance cameras in there. But little boy, just as clean, neat as he want to be, going across the street. And they say, this may be the suspect. I said, damn, look what they're doing this child. So one of the white police was challenging me. I said, you know, you can't tell the police that they took the ecstasy and the heroin and the guns because they're illegal. So they said, must have been a hate crime. No, it wasn't. That's what they took. And now it's coming to fruition, brother. They say, I just yang, yang, yang. There's been 4 Asians killed in the last 2 weeks. Now they want more on the police force. They want to be on the switchboard. They want whatever. I said, but our children dying every day. Somebody give me the same compassion. You can't expect me to have more compassion for you, whoever you are. And I'd have the same, if not more, for me and mine. You know, something wrong. If you're here for a minute, and then when I look at it real close, as I went out the city to other places to reach, well, they kind of thought we was coming out big, and we was out reaching out to our people. Because wherever I went, they had to give me 2 days. If they didn't need me, I had to have a day to go look for New Orleans. You know, but as I looked for New Orleans, I saw the same thing I saw in New Orleans everywhere. In Gertown, where I'm from in New Orleans, the police didn't come. And if they come and grab this boy by the arm, somebody's going to come and say, no, he can't go with you. Wait till his mom and daddy come home. Come back. You know, we had control. All this new stuff, our children that went to Harvard and Yale and all these other freak places and learned to come back to teach us, we know already. Racism took it away. You put the interstate down, the biggest business corridor we had. Let me give you an example. I could catch Ike and Tina Turner by Mr. Prouts and go catch Dizzy Gillespie up by Mr. Mason's. Huh? You understand what I'm saying? So why would I go on a Bourbon Street? As a matter of fact, white folk were saying, why would we go over there when all this good entertainment is over here in the hood? So how do you handle that? You bring a damn interstate out of nowhere. You got to make it really do something stupid to even get to eliminate this. But you eliminate our whole black. You know, like the other day when they convicted this boy or something, whatever it is, about the $15,000. I said in the 40s and 50s, it was the black doctors. All of them was in tax, income tax fraud. Some of them went to jail. Because they were financing NAACP and Urban League and other places. They used to look at your bank records. In the 60s and early 70s, it was black businessmen. They accused one of the biggest black, Johnny Cochran's father-in-law is who it is I'm talking about. They convicted this man of high sausage and a pork chop, and I used to work for him. And he told my girl, go sit your little silly butt down. I'd rather feed these people and have them steal from me. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of hard he had. He was found guilty of taking pork chops and hot. Just, I mean, what I mean is, not only do they do illegal shit, they make it just vulgar. Here's a man who would give you anything you want, and they're going to accuse him of going to a TCA place and taking some hot sausages and pork chops. You know, then here we come in the 2000s, and now it's going to be the black elected officials. You know, that's a pattern.
Check.
That's a pattern, brother. 27, they bombed 11. They're going to admit that in the 60s they bombed 11. And they did it again in 2005. They admitted it. They, you know, just go read. All, you know, better still, one thing I like about New Orleans and one thing I like about the African-American community, there's still oral history. Hey, baby. Winnie? How you doing, boo? That's just one of my children. You know, and then to black folk, I was walking down the street with some women my age, and they started fixing their pocketbooks, and then I looked down the street, and there was about 4 little brothers coming. I said, sisters, how can America make you scared of what you produce? You know what I'm saying? They come out your womb. How can America tell you to be scared of what you brought into the world? They need to go on safari in Africa and see how the animals protect their young. Maybe we need lessons from nature. You know, I don't know what it is, but it's You can say we got more millionaires than we've ever had, and we got more hungry people than we've ever had. You know, Donald Trump has a seminar that tells you how to take money from the government to do what he's doing, how to take your tax dollar and do you. You know, he's down here now. I took him a gift from Marie Laveau to his New York office. they better hear us. There's a spirit here, and it prevails. It may not be, it ain't like the magic they produce. It ain't nothing fictitious about it, brother. There's a soul in New Orleans that responds to how we are treated, and I promise you, what they're doing now, give an example. They were so sure we were gone, even the little man himself had wrote his resignation. He thought he was head lost. We went out and hustled, brother. Not about no blackness. It was either the devil or somebody with lack of knowledge. Because this boy came straight out of Cox. He's never been a political before in his life. We know this. His daddy was a janitor at City Hall when I started, so I knew he came from a beautiful family. You know, our children's problems are, they're not going to put in the book how to free yourself if they wrote it. You know, don't go to those schools and assume we just have set and not done nothing because you see the conditions now. If you're not old enough, go sit with the elder and find out how interstates went up all across America, particularly through our neighborhoods. You know, and then when it got to the point where, well, see, when we were young, it's not fair to our young people. The sign said, need fifth grade teacher, I'm just hypothetically doing this, must have bachelor's degree, whatever. And then two little letters was at the bottom of the ad, boy, it said, white only, don't even bring your black behind on here is what that meant to us. And apply. It told you in the ad in the paper, and go to the library and look it up. But now the children don't know that. Oh, and when they first so-called desegregated, because see, we weren't looking for no desegregation. That's another thing. We let other people give us terminology. We were looking for equality. I didn't want to go to the school down there. Them white children was having orgies and everything else when I was a child, but I sure wanted the building to look like the building they were in. I wanted it clean. I wanted updated books. I wanted to at least to be able to write my name in the proper place. By the time we got these outdated books, baby, when I was in school, there was two or three pages of where you write your name. The book was, a new edition had come out. We still used no. And then they said, we ain't stupid. That's the book you gave us. Thank God for old determined teachers. Because some of them would go mimeograph, copy, and do stuff and keep us.
Be up to date.
Yeah, you know, like we were talking to the man at HUD. He says, well, you know, projects are bad for your neighborhood. Hey, a Native American. I said, where you come from, mister? But anyway, I said, if you come to New Orleans and check our history, most of our MDs and PhDs came out of public housing after white folk was finished with them. Because the public housing, it was white people. We inherited public housing. And that's what we're confused about. When the other folk came in, why didn't we move up a step and they take the public housing? You know, we get passed over in America. Our men go and women go fight for other folk to come here to treat them subserviently. And they want to know why they're acting like that. Eddie Robinson died. Gremlins. We had eight brothers that most folk probably, unless they call a name, never knew they were professional athletes. I said, look at this wealth of brothers we have here that we never acknowledge. You know, we hear Peyton and Archie Manning and whoever's, but we never hear about the accomplishments of our people. You know, we ought to be proud. When they come on television, P and Wayne, them ain't left out. They leading the pack most of the time. They come from humble beginnings, but they're up there. You would think New Orleans would say, well, our boy's on top of this. They don't get, you know, it's like, our little brass bands, they go play all over the world. I'm going to get one for y'all, even that you see is their passports. Just four brothers. They can literally get off the plane and just put their hands out. Nine times out of ten, they'll get stopped before they get to New Orleans. They're handcuffed, going to jail for something or something. You know, and they go represent us around the world. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Lil James. Lil James Andrews. You know Trombone Shorty. That's Troy Andrews. Troy played with Lenny Kravitz. These children go, you know what I'm saying? And they come here and get treated like a piece of caca. Lil James and them brothers, the drummer, he going to see his mama. He tell the police, you know, you got to be invited guests to go and party. We're on the siege here, boo. We got rules here. If I lived in the project and you were coming to interview me and the police caught you in there, they could arrest you because you ain't on my list, my guest list. kind of foolish is that? I go to school. I'm working on a school project. You can't come by my house and work on the project with me because they got this rule where I live. Other folk can't come in. The people call it a cleansing. It's been a reality check for a lot of folk who say, "Well, the man said on the radio, when the Vietnamese come here and they go, I don't know, and they worked hard." I say, I didn't call in because I would have gotten in trouble. I want him to come sit on my porch and watch the filth that happens out of these places. I don't hate Vietnamese. I got my child write to me, and he said, "From your number one Japanese son." Because I treat him like a Jap. Boy, you done lost your mind. You talking about you can't understand the professor, and you from where everything we got that recall said Japan. You don't know to take a tape recorder in there. You know what I'm saying? Children are children. I got a letter from a little boy, David King. So I don't hear well. I said, "What's your name, baby?" He told me. I said, "Dad." He said, "No, I'm David." Well, I didn't know that's the Jewish way of doing it. David had an alarm clock. And if you read his letter, it's very like, it's talk about how hard we're working, brother, I was. We worked. I told him, "Come back for the party. After we get New Orleans back, you can come back. We're going to have one for you." You know, at night, they knew about all the different clubs and everything. But at night, if you leave, you come back, you find out, who passed by here? They had Indian practice here. This was like the only Mecca in the area. And the child said, "And we got good home-cooked meals." They were bringing us army stuff and whatever, but my people out of Mississippi, they were bringing us fresh greens. Them children were saying, they were saying, like, "Thank you for the food," like we were doing something special for them. You know what I'm saying? And if Lebanon and Israel and my children, my babies, and Hispanic children can work together here, and I mean, we didn't play, I didn't tolerate it, and we didn't talk no caca to one another. For the holiday, we was looking for the canary for Kwanzaa, and they was looking for the canary for the little Jewish children. They was looking for the Santa Claus for whoever wanted that. I mean, and in peace and harmony. Do you hear me? That happened right here.
Right. You know, we've been talking with Mama D. You know, we are running out of tape on this thing, and I want to kind of close up because you gave us a lot to digest. What would you like people who are listening? What two lessons would you like people who are listening to really learn from your experience over the past couple of years? And what two steps would you ask people who are listening to take to improve some of the situations and conditions here in New Orleans?
Number one, I'd like for them to find New Orleans in their town, because the PPs. And the second one would be, come get these PPs out of here and take them home and admonish them. Help means coming saying, "Mama D, what can I do to help you?" And hearing me and following that instruction. Help don't mean come oversee me and take over and take your 501c3 and get monies to benefit your propaganda and your activities, as opposed to what you lying and telling people. You know, in the Home magazine, if you look at the Christmas issue, I'm in there. And I said then, and I'm going to say to you in the listening audience, if somebody's out there asking you for money in the name of Mama D and the Soul Patrol, it's fraud. Call the popos. It's not real. We have not asked nobody. Right now, I have to go to court on the 12th of September. If you're in New Orleans, come go with me. Section B Civil Court. I'm being sued by Malik Rahim and the Common Ground Collective. I don't even know who they are. They say I'm in their way. They asked the judge to get a stairway order to keep me from going to Night World when they were marching and having their meetings downtown with Malcolm Super, who's another one who lied and said that I set my grandmother's house up as an information distribution center for him when he had never spoke to me before in New Orleans prior to Katrina. They're down here spending millions of dollars and giving the impression to the world that they're spending it on the people in New Orleans. It's not true. I'm going to have to go more to court. They can take me to hell, wherever they want to go with this. We are damaged. We are still shell-shocked. We still don't know where our dead is. They just did a mass grave the other day. We are still looking for employment because all the new people have come in to help us and took the jobs and the available housing. folk who say they came to help. If you go on Deslon Street is where they asked to keep me from. There are approximately 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 houses being occupied by volunteers and no citizens, no residents. How you helping me living in these people's houses? Old lady come, I had to go to, she sent for me and she's crying about the fact that they said they won't use a house and help her and give it back to her in 3 months. Here it is 2 years and we had to go say, you're going to do it willingly or do we have to show you how this go? You know, the blue house. And then when you get to the site, it says, how can you come? They've created their signs. How can you come watch our demise and don't leave a contribution? But the contribution never go to the people. They turn it into the little white volunteers and the little visiting folk at the end of the day. When one person observed $5,000 had been put in the bucket, they asked me what to do. I went and asked the young man, I said, baby, what y'all do with the money? He said, we had to buy food and gas for ourselves. Those kind of volunteers and helpers we don't need. You know, when I come to your house, brother, and you say, I need help, first of all, I'm going to ask you, what do you need me to do? Is my first question. Then, being as old as I am, I'm going to ask specifically instructions on, do you have a particular way you want it done? You know, they came down, they bragging, we did 8,000, so many gutted houses. First of all, they lying, because they ain't got no 8,000 houses in Lower Nine, damn near on this side of town. And then they left them vulnerable, so most of those are going to have to be torn down now because they took the money and did propaganda settings as opposed to putting the house back together. See these two blocks here? Did y'all walk earlier? Did you see the life around here, boo? We didn't say gut something. We said, where's the installation? Now go get the drywall. Where's the plumber? You know, plumbers just happened to see this so-called Catholic rebuild New Orleans. The brother was fixing over. He said, Mama D, because I know you, I ain't going to let it go like that. He said, go tell them people that they're putting the plumbing in wrong. You know, these are volunteers. And nobody's questioning the challenge. They say, oh, it's great they're here. We want them to stay. And that's an insult to us for here. Our city officials say that they want these folk to stay. And do you know we're still in England? Do you know some of us got all the way to England and we can't get home because we don't have birth certificates and ID over there to return? You know, basically, I'd like to say to those who have been sincere, we appreciate the love. It was a one love. It still is a one love for us as a people. But we would appreciate it if you bring your children and all the other folk who are here claiming they're helping. They're taking Mama D to court. They want some money from me. Isn't that amazing? On their website, they said, two paragraphs about themselves and two pages about Mama D and her community. And they say, make the checks out to them. And now they're suing me for monetary compensation.
Well, that's strange. You know, Mama D, we appreciate you taking time out this afternoon. I know it's been trying, you know, but as you said, people here in New Orleans will always persevere. We appreciate you taking us around, showing us the second line and some of the culture here in New Orleans. And, you know, hopefully people listening.
Say one more thing.
Sure.
You know what we call people like you? A blessing. Because we're glad to see that there's some compassion still out there for human beings. It wasn't a civil matter. It was a natural disaster. You didn't have to come here. You've been downtown with all the so-called who's supposed to be's. But the fact that you took time to come into our community and spend time with us and hear us. And I say you 2 minutes, because that's part of my platform. 2 minutes ain't enough. You know, once I say hi and my name, my 2 minutes up, the bell ringing. You know, and how can you do this? You know, we're being lazy, we're not rebuilding. Her mama did, her brother did, one of her children died. She's still rocking from this. Rode home, say, give me your fingerprint, and we get to take a mugshot. Then you got two forward flips, three backwards flips. That's just how crazy it is. They're foreclosing on people's property because Rode Home have not given them the funds that they were supposed to get. That's what we're suffering from. We ain't lazy. We've always been big easy. You can't make us walk. You can't make us do none of that fast. You come down here and live in this 200 degrees temperature, and you understand most of all why we do it, you know? And we don't have no batteries up our butt. New York is like, you know, the hyperness. We've never been that here. And we would just want you to remember to the listening audience, the love we showed you before, we still showing. You know, and don't buy the hype. It ain't real. It's a facade.
We out for now. Words of wisdom from Mama D. Peace, everybody. We'll be back.